Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sandra Weintraub. She is a neuropsychologist at Northwestern's Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center. Sandra, it's John. Welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. You heard us chat a little bit about that. What do you want to say just to start, having heard that little conversation?
Yeah, so I think that we're very lucky to have instruments like the MoCA because our population is aging, especially in the United States. We're getting more and more of the population over the age of 65, and with that comes the risk of developing cognitive impairment, because as you get older, that's just one of the risks. And so having this test is a quick, I call it the thermometer of the brain. You can give it in a relatively brief interval of time if you want to know if somebody has a fever or not. The test is very sensitive to things like education. So if you're a highly educated person, you might get a perfect score on it, but you might still have something wrong. So it's not it's not the gold standard by which you would measure somebody's cognitive functions.
MoCA, you said. This is the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, MOCA. Well, I'm disappointed in that when I heard the president passed it, you heard my little monologue, I thought, hooray. But now that I'm looking at it, it's such a blunt instrument to me. I want it to be a finer tool to better assess. To me, this says, okay, the president should be able to drive, but I'm still not sure it demonstrates that he has the capability to be president. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, it's. I would agree with that comment. Would you suppose you gave this to somebody in the street and they got a 30? Would you get in a jet propelled airplane with that person?
Right. Would you say, okay, here's the nuclear codes. You remember where your shoes are. You can remember
right.
Five words in a row. Exactly.
Yeah,
So you may
be able to push a button.
Yeah.
But it all depends what button you want to push.
You give this test sometimes, Sandra?
I do. I give it a lot.
And how do people do on it? What do you tell them when they don't get a perfect score?
Well, it all depends on what their level of education is, where they were acculturated. There are so many factors. And another issue here is, how do you score this test? There are criteria for scoring it, but unless you adhere specifically to those criteria, and even if you do adhere to the criteria, there's a little bit of wiggle room. So you have some discretion. Did the person draw the cube really, really straight, or was it just slightly off angle? So a little bit of discretion can lead to a score of 28 or a score of 30.
Hmm. One of them is, okay, here's A through E and the numbers 1 through 5, and you need to connect them in order. One goes to A goes to 1, and then you go B 2, C 3, etc. You draw a line to connect them all. Boy, that seems pretty simple to me. I mean, there are some people that don't get that part right.
Yeah, it's actually not that simple. So people who have a certain kind of, all dementia is not Alzheimer's. There are different kinds of dementia. So there's a dementia called frontotemporal dementia, where instead of affecting your short-term memory, that's fine. But what you can't do is a test as simple like this, which is alternating between numbers and letters. So these people are people who kind of jump the gun. And they might see 1, 2, 3, 4 and quickly try to connect 1, 2, 3, and 4. They might try to quickly connect A, B, C, D without stopping to alternate between the numbers and letters. So that can be a fairly sensitive test, but having only 5 numbers and 5 letters is not sensitive. This is based on a much more detailed test called the trail-making test. Mm-hmm. Which has, I believe, 12 numbers and 13 letters. And there you can, your risk of making an error goes up. So it's much more suitable for somebody who has a high level job.
Steve, you had a question or an observation? No. One of the questions that it asks is you to subtract by 7 from a given number.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of tricky for a lot of us. On a, you know, everybody might stumble on that. So now I'm worried that when the answer was 72, I said 73 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, so at a certain age, you are permitted to make a certain number of errors on that test. Also, if you have a very high level of education, we're going to hold you to a higher standard doing that test.
Well, that the president...
If you have a seventh grade education, you may not be able to do it at all.
Yeah, that the president got, though, 30 out of 30 on this tells us what? That he doesn't have dementia, right?
It tells us that he doesn't have he doesn't have a severe dementia that would, you know, we wouldn't need this test to know if he had a severe dementia. It tells us that he has a normal temperature. He's 98.7. Doesn't tell us if he has cancer or not.
I get your point. I mean, you described that in a minute ago as though a kind of mental health temperature, and then there might yet be something else wrong. But that's maybe the problem in interpreting this. So therefore, we all say, well, the president is mentally competent to be president. Can we make that determination based on this test?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because they're going to fly it that way. I don't blame them for doing so. And they have no evidence to the contrary except his behavior. But I wonder, is there another test that he could take or that we might ask?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm actually a little bit surprised that that this is their measure of his level of mental ability and that they didn't do more extensive. I'm a neuropsychologist, and so what I do is neuropsychological assessment. And I have a whole battery of tests that if I were asked to evaluate somebody from the standpoint of very serious decision-making where a whole country's future is at stake, I surely wouldn't just give this one test and say we're done with it. I would want to know how can somebody remember a list of 15 words, not 5 words? How can somebody reason about certain kinds of dilemmas that you get yourself into and then try to find a way out of? How does your reasoning processing go? And there are tests that allow you to do that. And this is, unfortunately, because of the brevity of this test and the fact that it covers lots of different areas, you really don't delve into any one area in any detail.
What's the matter, Steve?
Well, I don't. In their defense, I don't think that the goal of the test was to determine whether he was fit for office. It was to determine whether there were signs of early dementia.
Is there a fire? Yeah.
I mean, the fitness for office test is about 2 years too late. That's not what the physical was about. I don't.
But you know how they say there ought to be a test for you. You ought to be able to pass a test before you have a kid, or you ought to be able to pass a test before you vote. If you think there's some wisdom in that at its core, you might think there ought to be some wisdom in you'll have to pass a test to say, like, here's one of the questions I want him to be able to do. You know, Jack sometimes eats beans. Mary always eats beans. You know, there some beans are missing. Did Jack eat them and Mary ate them? Or, one of those things?
There was just a meeting with 12 people in the room and they couldn't decide which swear word they heard. How could they ever agree on what test to give?
Let me read this text to our guest on a phone line is... Sandra Weintraub. She is a neuropsychologist at Northwestern's Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center. And this says, memory, cognition, etc. Ha, that has nothing to do with mental stability, which could equal personality disorder. What's your comment on that?
Yes, well, that is very true. Your brain is huge, and it does lots of different things. And personality also comes from your brain. And things like impulsivity, I think we all sort of are concerned about the finger on the button issue. And impulsivity, you can push that button because you think you're in control of everything, or you can push the button because you hear a signal and you push the button before stopping to think about it. And those things are, what causes those things to happen are very different mechanisms. They don't have to come from the same mechanism. And, you know, where do you think your personality comes from?
We need to pause. You give us another minute on the other side. I've got more texts with interesting questions, and you may have a question for our guest, too. The number, either way, is 312. Now I'm terrified that I'm going to get some of these little details wrong. Time, phone number, middle name. A couple more minutes with our guest. She is over at Northwestern University. Sandra Weintraub joins us. Let me make sure I get the title right here, Sandra. A neuropsychologist at Northwestern's Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center. She's given the test before that the president himself passed the other day. And if you want to see what it looks like, I've got it on my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. Sandra, what about those of us who are worried that we walk into a room and we forgot why we went in there? It seems to happen more often as we get old. Talk to people's concern about that.
A lot. And as you get older, it probably happens more than when you were younger. But walking into a room and forgetting what you went in for is not a sign of Alzheimer's disease. What's a sign of dementia or dementia caused by Alzheimer's disease is you just were in a conversation and you had a very nice discussion with somebody, and 5 minutes later you approach them and talk to them about exactly the same topic. So walking into a room and forgetting why you went in there, typically you can retrace your steps and then say, oh yeah, of course, I came in for this. So that's not something that worries somebody like me, who is also a clinician and a researcher. I do want to say something about the, you said if you give somebody a test like this, could you then assume that their thinking is normal? I just want to ask you if you think that in order to measure, I'm sure the president had his heart function measured. Did they do that by just listening to his heart with a stethoscope and stop? Or did they do more?
I imagine, I noted, I saw his pulse, it was like 68 or something. I presume they just put it, they just texted his, he was sitting there and they took his pulse.
They took his pulse. They probably had him go on a treadmill. They probably did a stress test. They probably had an EKG. They probably did blood tests to look at measures of cardiac function. They probably had him breathe to look at how his lungs are functioning. So the point I'm making is that giving a mocha and saying, well, now you know about somebody's brain, is like listening to their heart go lub-dub, lub-dub, and saying they have normal cardiac function.
But it's not enough.
Do you think that we want to question our president's mental health on a scale where everyone knows the results?
And judges.
The whole world to see.
I think we need to know how our president is thinking, and then there needs to be some kind of a committee that then decides, can this guy go on, or are we in danger here? And not, we Americans, we like everybody to know everything. Look at Facebook, look at all these social media.
Well, we sort of have that committee now. We sort of have that now, and Republicans all agree that he's doing a... they're not, with the exception of some senators who are leaving, they all seem to endorse his viability.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't mean his political viability. I mean that once he goes through a real medical examination of his brain and other functions to say, okay, is this guy healthy enough to go on? So you need a nonpartisan committee of people who can make that decision. He's really not thinking normally, or he's forgetful. I mean, look at Ronald Reagan.
Look at Ronald Reagan. Here's the point, that the only thing that even approaches that is the 25th Amendment, and that's not going to be exercised because it would require the president's vice president, obviously of the same party, and his cabinet to endorse it. And if you think Donald Trump is the threshold by which the 25th should be exercised, hooray, we have a failsafe, we don't at all. In other words, you will need to rewrite the Constitution if you want to do the common sense thing that you're thinking about. I have to go, Sandra, but before we do, somebody texted and said they took this test and you don't have to remember the five words in order. So do you understand that to be the case too?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right, now let's give it a try again. The five words are...
Anytime, John.
Church.
Yes.
Daisy.
Yes.
Red. Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a hint about the last one, because that might help you remember.
You get to give hints.
Part of the body.
A face.
There you go.
Okay. Would I pass? Would I, by your assessment, would I get 5 out of 5 on that?
No. But as a clinician, I would say, okay, he couldn't pull it up on his own, but he still recognizes it, so he's not as bad as somebody who couldn't pull it up under any circumstance.
All right, so this does not preclude me from being president. How about hosting a talk show? Maybe I shouldn't be on the radio, though.
No, you do a great job at that.
You're a delightful person to talk to and very helpful. Sandra, I don't think this is the last conversation we're going to ask you to have with us. I hope you can join us again.
All right, I certainly will.
Stay well. Thanks for your time.